Well, I need your prayers this morning. I feel very needy. I really want the Lord to bless to our hearts what He's given me this week. This is a great challenge for me as well. Maybe I'll write some words on the board. You may recognize it as the title of a song. I've written, if I spelled it all right, take time to be holy. Been really inspired with that song lately. Maybe we'll read the words of it in a little bit. I don't think we necessarily need to sing it, but I'd like to turn over to the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is it's kind of an allegory. Song of Solomon 4, maybe we'll go to verse 12. The Song of Solomon is regarded by the Jews as one of the most esteemed books in their canon. And it might be one of the most overlooked books in the Bible. You think, well, what's a love story doing in here? But it has some very deep metaphors to the relationship that God wants to have with every one of us and with His church. Song of Solomon 4 and 12, it says, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed." You know, and then it goes on to detail what the beauty that's in there. It's like a garden. "Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon." I don't know how you can improve upon something like that. About a week before last, I was in Honduras, and we went to a place that some of the locals knew about. And it was a place where there was a big waterfall. And it was kind of like this there. There were plants all over and beautiful things that you don't see up here. Tropical plants and flowers, and the animals there are different than the ones you see here. And just all kinds of beauty. And it was untouched pretty much by human civilization. Saw a few beer bottles laying around, but there weren't really any houses built up there. And the stream was clear and cold and not all muddied up, and there were great big rocks that were just laying seemingly in a random way. But it always amazes me how something God created, no matter how random it seems, can be one of the most beautiful pictures that you can imagine. Well, that's kind of what this garden here reminds me of. But it says it's a garden enclosed. That means that there's a relationship that me... And this is talking about a relationship between a man and his wife. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. You and God, it's an exclusive relationship. Me and my wife have an exclusive relationship. Nobody else is allowed into that relationship. It's just between the two of us. It's private. And that's how the Lord wants to be with you this morning, every one of us. Well, what happens whenever you break down a wall that's into something private? And other things can get in, can't they? We'll read about that in a little bit. But in the 16th verse, you hear the wife responding to what the groom is saying. Awake, O north wind, Song of Solomon 4:16, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. What's implied here in these verses is that we don't want to do anything to break down the wall and to ruin this experience. The beauty and the exclusivity and the special things that make up what this garden is and what it means and the things that can come out of it and the joys that are shared from it. We don't want to mess it up. We don't want to modify it. We don't want to water it down. We don't want to sell it cheaply. We don't want to get rid of it or open it up to contamination. It's something that we've got to guard. We've got to protect. And you know, that's the way that the Lord wants each one of us. He wants each one of us to have a relationship with Him that nothing's going to sully the waters of it, to muddy it, to make it, to be contaminated, where I've got this name, I'm a Christian, but I've got all of these things that contaminate my experience, and I don't have the joy that I should, and I can't have the communion with the Lord that I'd like to have and that the scripture talks about, because I have all of these external things that have been able to intrude because the wall's been broken down for some reason. The Lord wants us to have a relationship with Him that's behind a wall. And that's what this is talking about. It's something that's very private and it's exclusive, and it's something, the reason the wall's there is not only to keep the good things in, but to keep the bad things out. All right? So I'm thinking of a scripture, and we won't turn there, but Paul said in Acts 24:16, he said, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." The thing that is so big of a player in the relationship that I have with God, it's my conscience. It's the thing that helps me to know how I'm doing. And you know, we can sear our conscience. We can have an overactive conscience, but a healthy conscience is very good and a vital part of our relationship with God. It's something that gives, it's an indicator of how I am doing with the Lord, what I can tell the Lord, and how much He's going to communicate with me, and how much victory I'm going to get as a result of how clear my conscience is. And all of that, there are external influences that are always trying to muddy our conscience, to drag it down, to make it where it's not clear, and we know it, and so then we try to go, and it's business as usual, and we try to talk to God anyway, and we've got things that we sweep under the rug, and all. You know, the Lord wants us to exercise ourselves constantly to have a conscience that's void of offense toward God. That's what Paul said. He said, I exercise myself as if it's almost like a New Testament iteration of this thing where he said a garden enclosed. This is a garden enclosed. It's something that I don't want anything else to go. I've got a relationship that I'm trying to protect. Why did he say I've got a conscience void of offense toward God? I exercise myself to have a conscience because it matters to have a conscience void of offense. That's how we're going to have, you know, when Jesus said, I want to come in and I want to commune with you and sup with you and you with me, he said that that's his desire for every one of us. And thank the Lord, he is willing to come to each one of us with a conscience that's black with sin and guilt and clean us up and make us whiter than snow on the inside, as the scripture says, with his blood, and clean us up and make us a brand new creature. Do you know that after he makes us a brand new creature, it is not his will that we go and we start just muddying it up again, and we take all the aspects and all the attributes of the old man back into our lives? No! He wants us to have a relationship with him where we exercise ourselves. And you know, there's growing involved. And there's apologies involved, and there's times when we go, I didn't do as good as I should have. But you know that the Lord wants us in those times where He's so faithful to point out those places that we need work, that we will look at it and say, okay, well, what do I need to do where I don't do this again? Where I move up in this area. And you know, maybe it's something that you're going to have to work at for a while. And you may not be quite satisfied with the next time you handle it either. But the point is, okay, next time I'm going to grow. I did better this time and the Lord's going to help me. And I believe that the Lord, and it's a progression. But I want to read a scripture in Proverbs 24. And 30. I'm sorry. I always take, it seems like, so long to get somewhere. And I try not to, but maybe someday you can have someone preach to you. It's a lot more brief, but today you've got me. Proverbs 24 and 30. I went by the field of the slothful. And the vineyard, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. What do you think was inside that stone wall before it was broken down? A productive vineyard. A garden. Something that was profitable. Something that was enjoyable. Something that had a purpose to it. But when the stone wall, why did he say it? He looked at it, and the implication is that it's not somebody that he knew before he got there. Well, this is a man void of understanding. He looked at the wall and he said, this is a man void of understanding because the wall's broken down. What does it matter if the wall's broken down? Who cares if the wall's broken down? Because you can't have the same thing that you had before the wall was broken down. You can't have the same experience. You can't have the same fruits. You can't have the same profitability. You can't have the same enjoyment. You can't have, if you're talking about a relationship, you can't have the same communion. You can't have the same benefits that you had before the wall was broken down. Walls take a lot of work to put up. Stone wall, that's a lot of work. You look at some of the stone walls that were built. Some of them are still existing. They were built by the slaves. So, you know, well over 100 years ago, near some of them maybe 200 years ago. And you can look at them and you can see all the work that it took to build them. They cared about them. They didn't build them and then after that say, you know what, I went to all this work, but I don't care about it. I don't care if it gets broken down tomorrow. I don't care if somebody rams their Jeep through it, puts a hole through it. Well, they didn't have Jeeps back then, but you know what I'm saying. I don't care. I don't care what happens. Who builds, who goes to the effort to erect a wall like that to protect something, and then they don't care what happens. They don't care if it gets knocked down or not. There's something that a purpose for those walls, whether it was to keep sheep in and wolves out, or whether it was to divide a property line and you've got horses on one side and maybe you've got cows on the other. Maybe you've got a bull that's not very nice, short-tempered. You want to do... There's all kinds of reasons to have a wall like that. But I don't think anybody went to all the trouble to build a wall like that and then said, I don't care what happens to it tomorrow or at any other time. Well, that's why the man was void of understanding. Because he didn't care. Because the wall was broken down. When the wall is broken down, then you can't have what you had before. So maybe let's read the words to this song that the Lord's been talking to me about lately. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. It strikes me that it doesn't just say, be holy. There are scriptures that say that. And this is not scripture. This is a song. I believe that this song was inspired by the Lord. But there's a thought that's being conveyed here. It doesn't just say, be holy. It says, take the time to be holy. There is things, there are things that we cannot do by any means on our own. The scripture says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Without that grace, folks, we cannot do anything to please the Lord. We can't live for Him. We can't resist temptation. We can't have proper communion with Him. We can't have proper understanding of what's right or wrong. We cannot direct our steps the way we need to. We cannot stand in times of adversity. Can't do any of that without grace. But the Lord gives grace, and then it is up to us to avail ourselves of the grace of God in our lives. The Lord makes it available. We have to implement it in our lives. He said, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Thinking about how I run a very small business, and I'm thinking about all the things that I have to do to make that business run smoothly. You know, one thing I do is I take time to make sure that my job goes well the next day. You know, when I get home from work at night, I don't just walk into the house and forget about everything. When I'm on the job before I even go home, I have a list on my phone. I need to get this and this and this from the house. Because if I don't get it, my job's not going to go well tomorrow. I may have to go into town, get something, or I might not be able to get it at all because what I have at the house is something I had to order online. When I get home, and sometimes I do this early in the morning, and sometimes I do it in the evening, but the point is that I do it before I go to work. The point really is that I take the time. I take the time to do what I need to do. You know that time is a vital component in our living for the Lord? We can have all the investment. You know, I can buy all the tools. I can have an unlimited budget, and believe me, I do not. But I can buy screws, I can buy shims, I can buy all of this. And you know it's not going to help me that much if I don't take the time to organize it, to prepare. If I just throw in the towel at 5 o'clock and say, you know what, I'm done. This job will be here tomorrow. And it's going to go just like it did today. Well, no, it's not. If I don't go and I don't prepare for the next day, I need to get, okay, I'm out of 2-inch screws. I got to go and top up my screw bucket, my screw case with some screws. I ran out of rags today. Okay, I'm going to go down to the basement. And you know, I don't just go down to the basement and get stuff. I am also spending time ordering stuff for when I run out in the day. And I've got a great big case of rags. A while back I ordered 28,000 screws. Why? Because I don't want to run out. I want to have what I need tomorrow and the next day. And so every day when I'm on the job, I take some time to make sure I'm prepared for the next day. Go home with a whole load of cardboard. Alan knows about this. We put so much cardboard in there that we can't hardly fit it in. Sometimes stuff is sticking over our heads and right by us as we're sitting. And sometimes I go, even when Alan's not riding with me, I put a great big old trash bag right there in the passenger seat. And sometimes it even blocks the mirror somewhat. And I'm thinking, if I can just get home, I'll be all right. But then I get home, and what if I leave all that stuff in there? And then I go back to the job the next. I have to take some time, don't I? Time is a vital component to doing. It's not enough to just invest. It's not enough to buy the materials. It's not enough to organize them and for them to be on the shelf. I've got to take the time to make sure they're in my van when I need them for the next day. I've got to make sure that I've got plenty of oil in there. And I've got to make sure the van's running okay. I've got to make sure that my tire is not about flat, and I've got to make sure that I've been up with my maintenance, because those things will catch me if I'm not careful. Something will catch me, and something that would have taken, you know how long it would. Sometimes I go home and I'll work on something in the house, and so I'll take some tools with me. I might take my main bag of tools with me. Do you know if I left that one bag of tools in the house and then went to work with that, do you know how much time it would take, it would cost me? It would cost me a trip home from where I was, because I can't do hardly anything without that bag. But it only takes me 1 minute to take that bag of tools out of the house and put it in the van while I'm there. But it takes some time. You know, it takes some time to live for the Lord. It takes some deliberate planning. It takes some care. It takes stopping and pausing sometimes and inserting time into our planning that isn't there for anything else but following the Lord. I'm going to read a few scriptures. You pray for us this morning. Colossians 3 and 12. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. You can turn there if you want to. Listen, this is kind of what I consider in my mind. If you want to know what is a Christian supposed to strive for? This is kind of the gold standard in New Testament scripture in my mind. You want a list? I don't think we should just exclusively live by lists, because the Lord wants a relationship. But you want a list of how the Lord wants us to be? This is the list. Okay? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I believe, and I'll just say this, I believe that many or most, if not all, of the things in this list are things that we can grow in our understanding and we can grow in our application. I am so challenged by what the Lord has talked to me about this week. So personally challenged that the Lord will help me. This is the ideal. This is how the Lord wants us to, what He wants us to strive for, what He wants us to be. He doesn't want us to fuss and feud and fret all day long. He doesn't want us to be full of strife, trouble, turmoil, perpetually offended, perpetually causing offenses, perpetually upset and frustrated at other people and situations. He doesn't want us to do that in our lives. He wants us to have peace in our hearts. He wants us to have thankfulness inside. He wants us to have things, good fruits. And you know that keeping those things, how are we going to keep these scriptures? How are we going to even come close to doing the things that the Lord wants us to do in these verses? Do you look at these verses and think, well, that's just too far away. I can't do that. My heart is full of bitterness and all of this. You know, it's in here. The Lord made a way for us to get rid of all of the things that are so troublesome and that cause so much, that drive us away from a close relationship with God and lead us into communion with God. He made a way for us to do this. If we live, I want to say this, if we live and we try to live as Christians and we want to be successful and we want to help others and we want to influence our children and we want to influence our neighbors, if we go out and we try to reach out to others and we do not live at all in this way, but we're just full of contention and we're full of trouble and we're full of anger and anxiety, we will not be able to help others in the way that we want to. Because there's nothing there. There's nothing there to tell people, this is what you want to come to. If we don't point people to ourselves, and we're not supposed to do that, we want to point people to Christ. Christ is not bitter and full of contention and angry and fretful all the time. All right? But if we are, and we say, you need the peace of God, but I'm over here causing trouble and doing all kinds of things and creating offenses and succumbing to offenses and all of that. Folks, the Lord wants us to strive for these things right here. Now, let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Maybe we can tie some of this together and get to the burden the Lord really wants. The Lord's really been talking to me about Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's he talking about? All of the people that have lived for God successfully. You know, it'd be kind of hard, it'd be kind of a tall order if the scripture had all of these commands, but nobody had ever done it. You couldn't point to a single person that had done it. No, there have been people that have done all of these things, and a lot of them were Old Testament people that did not have access to the same level of grace and the Holy Spirit than you and I did. I want to tell you, Daniel stood through some things. Abraham stood through some things. Noah stood through. I can't hardly even imagine living like Noah did. What he did and the peer pressure and all of the things that he went through, and yet was successful and victorious, and he obeyed God through it all. So it says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I'm laying the ingredients out on the table this morning, and I think that it's probably going to be different, a little bit different for everyone, because this is relating to personality. You know what my personality is? I'll tell you a little bit about my personality. You probably already know. I'm a very driven person, okay? I'm very driven. I love to achieve. I love to get lots of stuff done. I love to accomplish things in a big way. It is not hard for me to be disciplined. It's not hard for me to get up early. It's not hard for me to stay up late and get up early. It's easy. It's easy. Those things are easy for me because I'm driven. You know what's hard for me? To be patient and kind while I'm doing all of those things. There are some people that are very laid back in their personality. They're not driven to achieve as much and all of that, but they're some of the kindest, most patient people around. We all have different things do you know that the Lord wants us all to take the time that we need to be holy? I believe that some people, the Lord would like them to achieve a little bit more and sleep a little bit less. And you know what I'm saying. Everybody has their area of strength and their area of weakness. All right? But for me, I'm just going to tell you, and you can apply this in your own way to your own needs today. But I will line out, I'll say, okay, I should be able to do this and this and this. I have this much time, I've got to do this. I should be able to get this much done. You know what I'll do? If I'm not careful, I'll cram enough stuff in there. I'll look at it and say, I can get this done. And I'll get it done. I'll get it done. And there have been times when I have gotten what I thought was an incredible amount done. And you know what happened? It came at a price. I left behind some hurt feelings and maybe some tears. And I left behind some things, some hard feelings and a little bit of contention. And then I had to go back. And the Lord, and you know what else? It wasn't just other people. There have been times when I said, okay, I'm going to get this and this and this and this done. I've got time for it. And that's all I took time for, was to get the stuff done. But the Lord wants us to take time to be holy, you see. And so I would get this and this and this and this done. And you know what happened the whole time I was getting it done? Well, this would happen. And I would power through it and be frustrated and grinding my teeth the whole time. And then it would get all done. And this kept happening. And then I would go and I'd say, well, man, I just wasn't as patient as I should have been. I didn't have the patience that I should have had. And I got through this, but I was so frustrated. And Lord, you, and I'd go talk to the Lord about it. I'd say, Lord, you know the feelings that I have had today. Lord, I need more power. Lord, I need more of your grace. Because the next time that I line up all these things to do, I want to be able to sail right through it with victory. And the Lord, after a while, you know, the Lord let me do this for a while. And then he started talking to me about this verse. Lay aside every weight. The things that trip us up. You know that the Lord has a lot of scriptures in the Bible about not coming close to a temptation. Can the Lord help us, deliver us from it? Yes, he can. From any temptation, there are things that we cannot help. And I believe that the times when what are you going to do? Not go to Walmart? There are things in Walmart that you're going to see and hear and interact and become part of that you had no choice in the matter. And you can say, well, I'm just not going to go to Walmart. You can't do that. You have to do, there are things that you have to do. Do you know that I believe the Lord is able, and I can attest to the fact that the Lord is able to keep us in those situations. But there are certain areas in Walmart that I might not want to go. And there are certain places in town that I might not want to go. There was a play a while back. We went to the mall. And there was a store that I knew I didn't. It was something that was not good, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I ended up, instead of walking through the mall, I went outside and I walked around the mall and came back in the other end. And there are times when we have to do that. Do you know that, and the scripture says, walk not in the path of evil men, walk not by it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. That's in Proverbs. We'll turn to the scripture right now. But the scripture has plenty of cautions about not going. You know what your weaknesses are. They're not the same as mine. Everybody has a set of weaknesses that we know. If I get close to that, there's a really good chance that I'm going to fall into it. And so let me tell you about how the Lord dealt with me. And he's still working with me some. I will testify that the Lord has given me a lot of victory in this area. I want more. Okay? But the Lord said, you prepare and you'll walk around the mall to avoid this store, and you will do this to avoid this temptation. But when it comes to your time and your planning, you'll line out all this stuff, and you know full well that if one little hitch goes in things, it's going to put your mind in a tizzy. The fact is that there are places in life where the grace of God does not extend. You know what those places are? There are places where we know that we should not go, and yet we do it anyway. Not, you can't say this in and of itself is sin. You can't say that. But it is something that the Lord has put his finger on and said, this is an area in your life that will hurt your relationship with me. And so I can say, well, you know what? I want to do this. It's not a sin. It's not a sin to plan out my day like this. It's not a sin to work hard. It's not a sin to be driven or to try to achieve. But when I plan it in such a way where I know full well, if I stop and think about it, that I am going to deal with the weaknesses that I dealt with last time and the time before and the time before and the time before, then it would behoove me to say, you know what? I don't want to mess up this enclosed garden I've got with my Lord. I've got a relationship. I've got peace and joy in my heart, and I don't want to mess that up. What do I need to do to prepare? And you know, there may come, with all the planning you can do, there may come situations you did not count on that'll come, and the Lord will give you grace for that. What the Lord does not give us grace for is places that He has put His finger on that we know full well we need to be careful, and yet we do not be careful. And we go into those situations and it's like the Lord said, look, you knew. The grace of God was back before you went into that close place. The grace of God is there for us to walk around the things that cause us to trip up, to lay aside the weights that we know will trip us up. Does that make sense? All right. I feel like the Lord talked to me last year about taking care of myself better physically. And so I was asking the Lord. My blood pressure started going up, is what happened. And I have a family history of high blood pressure, and so it really alarmed me. And it went up, and it went to the 120s, and then it went to the 130s, and then I saw it in the 140s, and I said, I've got to do something about this. So I said, Lord, I started seeking the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? What path do you want me to take? This is not good. I know what's at the end of this. I've seen it before. And I felt like that one day, the Lord got in the van with me as I went to work. And He just started talking to me. And He told me a lot of things. And I won't go into all that He told me, but He said, you need to get more sleep. And you know what? I could have said, you know, I've got all this that I need to get done. The Lord help me. I'll tell you a little bit of what the Lord told me. He said, you know, we have in our lives, we have indicators of how we're doing. Blood pressure's a number. Blood sugar's a number. And there are other numbers in our life. And when we see those numbers, our bodies are designed to heal themselves. And we all get old, we all die, and all of that. But there is a time when our bodies are designed, most of the time, you know, there are people that have something that's hereditary, and there are people, but there are many of the things in our bodies are the things that we get and the things that we suffer from many times, not every time. You can't, it's a case by case basis, but many times it is because something in our lifestyle is out of kilter. Something that we're doing is preventing our body from healing at the same rate that we're damaging it. Okay, life damages our body. We go out and we're hard on ourselves, and we work and we may do something. Oh man, that my muscles hurt from that. You know that's all good. The body is designed to be stressed and then to heal, and through sleep and through proper eating and exercise and all of that. And the Lord helped me to see, you know what? You could just take something quick for that, and you could bring the number down, but I want you to change your lifestyle. I believe the Lord wants us to be responsible and try to live our lives in such a way that He's pleased with, and be disciplined and be balanced and all of that. You know, that carries into our spiritual lives. We can pray and say, Lord, make me more whatever. Make me more patient in my case. Make me more patient. Just help me. Flood me with your love and joy and grace. And the Lord started talking to me and said, your life is a little bit out of kilter. I like to achieve. But life is not all about achieving the things that you just want to achieve. Yeah, it's good to achieve, but you know what my problem was? There was some other achieving that I didn't consider to be quite as important. And so then we can get to be like, well, you know, yeah, I wasn't patient. And you take this and apply this to your own life. But I'm applying it to mine. Yeah, I wasn't patient. Well, you know, I had all this stuff to do. What would you do if you had all this stuff to do? And we can justify it. We can come up with excuses. But the fact is that the Lord wants us to take those things in hand and say, Lord, help me to restructure a little bit. What do I need to do to protect this place? Because the Lord wants us to have communion with Him where we have peace and joy and where we can forgive people and where we don't stay constantly irritated at people, irritated at life's circumstances. He wants us to be able to have a place where we have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost in Him. All right. I hope that makes sense. And so maybe we sometimes we have to dig a little bit to figure out, all right, what do we really need to change? I'll give you an example, okay? I'll give you an example. Maybe, and I have no idea. Everybody here, I don't know what you were like before you came here. But there have been times before where I got to the house of God and I felt very out of sorts. You can say, well, okay, why were you out of sorts? Okay, well, I need to pray for more patience and I need to pray for more love. Yeah, sure, but why were you out of sorts in the beginning? Well, because I was trying to get all these children ready for church. Trying not to be late for church. So you can't blame me. I mean, it's hard to get a family ready for church. All right? Okay? Well, why were you struggling? You can think of all this. Now, I'm not saying this is how it is in every situation, but it's a chain of events, all right? Well, I'm out of sorts because I was trying not to be late for church. Don't want to be late for church. So I'm trying out of sorts because of that. Kind of in a bad mood a little bit because I had to yell at this kid and this one did this and wasn't supposed to. This one didn't get out of bed in time and all of this and this. All right, well, why were we trying not to be late for church? Well, maybe we slept too late. Maybe we didn't get up in time. Maybe when we did get up, we kind of wasted our time a little bit. Cooked too big a breakfast, whatever. Well, why'd you sleep too late? Well, and we get to thinking about, you know, some of these answers, when we get to digging, it takes honesty to figure out where the problem is. The Lord will give us the answers in life that we need, but the ingredient that it takes is being honest and saying yes when the Lord points that out, not shifting the blame, well, they did this, or if they would have done this. It takes honesty, and we have to say, yes, I'm the man. So David said, I'm the man. I did this. I guess Nathan said, thou art the man. But he acknowledged it. So I slept too late. Well, why did I sleep too late? Well, maybe because we stayed up too late playing this game on Saturday night. Stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning and we had to get done with this game. Okay? Well, why did we do that? Well, maybe because we haven't had enough family time lately because I've been working too hard, putting in too many hours, and Saturday comes along. It's the only day I had, and so we threw it all in Saturday. Okay? Well, why did I work so much? And you can go back. You can do all that. You know, the Lord wants us to have functional families and lifestyles. He doesn't want us to be out of kilter. He wants us to be balanced in our lives. And you know, none of us, when we come to the Lord, none of us are balanced. We don't have balanced thinking. We don't have balanced ways. And if we get married, then we marry somebody that has totally different ideas, and maybe they're out of balance here, and I'm out of balance here. Sometimes those grate against each other. Sometimes we're both out of balance in the same way. When you have two people that are out of balance in the same way, you know what happens? Then you've got an area that's really out of balance, and you have the danger of creating a family propensity that will last for generations to come. But when the Lord will help us and point out, you know, the Lord's in the business of, He's not in the business of coming and fixing all our problems from the get-go. He's in the business of revealing to us how we can fix our problems, how we can heal from our hurts, how we can be balanced in our lifestyles, how that we can maintain the relationship that He wants us to have with Him. I hope that makes sense. You know, it says, we had this verse, actually, I had actually suggested this verse this morning. Somebody was wanting a verse, and I had suggested it because it had been on my mind. But it says in James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And this is right after verses that are warning about sin. It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." You know that sometimes when we take time to be holy, there are things that will happen in life where we think, well, I'm falling behind. People may take advantage of us sometimes. People may outpace us. I'm talking, this is maybe more in my area. And I can think, well, I want to achieve. I want to do well in this. Yeah, but if I'm leaving behind a trail of wreckage, what am I really achieving? Or what's the cost to my achieving? May the Lord help us today to build the fences and keep the walls that He intended for us to build and not shift the blame here and there and say, you know, the grace of God just wasn't there for me, or it's not my fault they did this. Maybe there are some things that we can do to help us to lay aside every weight and run the race with patience that is set before us. You pray for me.